Hello, Kelly Maron speaking for the Insensé podcast. Today, our episode is in English. Aujourd'hui, notre épisode est en anglais. Pour les francophones, je vous invite à écouter ou réécouter les épisodes précédents ou à attendre deux petites semaines pour le prochain épisode en français avec un invité très spécial et très inspirant. Welcome on the Insensé podcast. There is a new intro today because we're in English. This podcast is highlighting the paths and stories of people who manage to align what they do with what they believe in. And it makes sense, to them at least, and to us maybe. To support purpose-driven projects and people, including this podcast, please take time to add 5 stars and a cool comment on Apple Podcast. It helps a lot.
Voici comment l'histoire a commencé.
Je crois que ce surmenage nous guette tous.
Eh ben alors ?
La vie moderne étant ce qu'elle est.
Vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez.
What's your purpose? What's your cause? What's your belief?
C'est du bon pain.
Craquer au bureau.
Bolche.
Réfléchissez.
Dégage.
La vie a-t-elle un sens?
Qui
suis-je?
Mais il est complètement fou ce mec.
Today, I'm happy to introduce you to Marielle von Hermet. She is the co-founder of Circular Stories. Her and her partner, Alekari, believe in the power of stories. From parent reading to children to Barack Obama's speech, we all know a good story can change our view on the world. And they do want to change the world. How? Well, our planet is in despair. We're all at home, witnessing the world changing behind our screen. There is fear, isolation, panic, sickness. There are deaths, too many of them. Isn't that a moment for our wake-up call? Can't we transform fear into love? Isolation into solidarity? Panic into light and energy? And sickness doesn't have to aim our soul as well. Can we honor deaths of our loved ones and stranger to a rebirth of our society? Only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change, says Milton Friedman. Old models don't apply. Resources are limited. Less impact on our dear Pachamama planet Earth is needed. Some mind shifts and concrete actions in business are necessary. Marielle is contributing to that change. She wants to inspire front-runner entrepreneurs and consumers to go circular. But what is circular? It's an economic system aimed at eliminating waste and the continual use of resources, because we don't have much left, obviously. Circular systems employ reuse, sharing, repair, refurbishment, remanufacturing, and recycling to create a closed loop, minimizing the use of resources input and the creation of waste, pollution and carbon emission. Clearly, Circular Story is the campaign for a new economy. I think we all need to focus on how we can do things differently. I am taking this time to rethink my project, my goals and places I want to put my energy in. I'm inviting you to take this time as an opportunity to pause and reflect as well. For your information, this episode was recorded a few weeks ago on my way to a psychedelic retreat. The taste of that episode is very different today. It seems even more important to share different ways of doing business, aligning interests of everyone and everything, including our Mother Earth. Marielle is an incredible woman I met on a yoga retreat in Ibiza. She comes from the Netherlands and lives in Utrecht. She's been traveling, connecting, and discovering her own world as well. She's sensitive, driven, visionary, and inspiring. Marielle follows her true calling since forever. She's finding ways to address controversial or new ways of doing in every project she's dealing with. Either when she was a pharmacist, launching a business to balance the effect of hard drugs on our immune system, or via her latest project, creating circular system everywhere possible. Curiosity, innovation, freedom, inspiration, sense of integrity. This is what drives her, and this is what she puts into her projects. In this episode, we're learning about the circular economy as well as concrete example to manage to close that loop. You'll understand what it means soon. We're talking about her passion to combine disciplines that are not expected to work together, and boom, surprise, magic happens. We're learning to celebrate what is worth celebrating. We're talking about courage, determination, and being vulnerable as well. About how to live a purpose-driven life and how to be skin in the game in entrepreneurship projects. We're also talking about her biggest fear, what is sacred to her, and much, much more. That's not it. I hope you'll enjoy that episode, sending you love and light and hope for those very particular times we're living now. Please make the most of it. See opportunities where they are. Mariella, welcome on the Insensé podcast. I'm happy to be with you today. We are in Utrecht, in Holland. And how are you feeling today?
Energized.
Wonderful. Can we start this podcast by discovering a little bit about your story?
Yes. So my story began 40 years ago in a tiny village in the middle of Holland. And I was raised by two lovely parents, and I lived in a family with a brother and a sister. And I think part of my story is that I had a heart condition that determinates a lot in my youth. It especially made me very aware as a child that there was life is ending at one point. And also it made me aware that you should take most out of it.
Your professional story began in health?
It began in health when I had to choose my study. I had preference for medicine, to study medicine, but my second interest was business, and this is international business. And actually, I didn't get into medical school, but I did study pharmacy, and I've been a pharmacist for a couple of years. But I love working on this sort of edge where you combine two disciplines. So I always worked in healthcare marketing, and I really try to bring new concepts into the market that were on this edge.
Kind of concept?
Well, I developed the format for a new pharmacy. So it was a pharmacy we didn't know in Holland at the time. I think it was 2006 or 2007. And it was more like a retail chain coming up, and I developed a format for that. But also I designed new services for patients, because I thought, well, we have all this knowledge. Why don't people know to come to us and ask us for advice? Or how can we serve them better so they feel better? So I made concepts like the pickup points in supermarkets,
pickup for what, for example?
Medication.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the pharmacy is not open all the time in the Netherlands from 9 to 6 or something. So we work together with supermarkets to distribute the medication more easily. I made a format, a supportive format for general practitioners, to do their communications and their branding, and take work out of their hands, like administration and the medication supply. But also some services like open days or a compass to use your medication wiser. So it's always about like, what does the client need and how can we help with our expertise and make that expertise more accessible for our clients.
And you also started your first entrepreneurship experience.
Yes.
In health.
Yes.
The prep.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. I really like to party. And in Holland, we have a big party scene, dance scene, that's famous internationally. And I was always fascinated by all those people coming together using hard drugs, because it's quite liberal here. And I heard, well, 250,000 people use hard drugs once a year in the Netherlands. And I was...
It's massive.
And I think this is the tip of the iceberg. Like, a lot of people won't admit it. So this is the official records. It's increasing still. And I just wondered, like, being a pharmacist, I thought, like, wow, what can you do to protect yourself against these chemicals or the toxic damage of these chemicals? Because people are going to use it. So I took a deep dive into this and went into literature and to the instances, and I found the recipe, my secret recipe, to actually develop a sort of cure, for these side effects, so you can party safe.
Wonderful. So that was your first entrepreneurship experience.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because we talked about it, it didn't go that well, or not as well as expected.
Mm-hmm.
What was the main learning for you?
There were two learnings. The first was that I love to look where the boundaries are, and that I thrive most on these edges that are maybe a bit controversial or new, but it really drives me. So that's what I found out there. I loved getting into discussions with people about the ethical part of this. And the second one is, as a startup, I funded it myself with my own saving money. And then I hit a point that I had to develop, I developed my first MVPs, I put in some money, and then this second round came that you have to develop your product even further and take it to the next level. And I didn't have investments for that. So it kind of blew out like a candle, because I couldn't make the decision to invest again for myself or find investors. And at that point, the people I was involved with in a project that did it voluntarily and brought a lot of energy, they were not skin in the game. So that's my learning. Like, look forward to the future, decide how you're going to finance the next step in your company, and find people who are skin in the game and for who it's just as important to succeed as you think it is.
And skin in the game would be sharing more of the company itself?
For me, skin in the games mean you're all in. So you share vision on what you want to achieve and what your purpose in life is. And it, I think vision should be aligned, but also the investments. So you are skin in the game if you also financially invest your time, invest your beliefs and your trust.
Wholeness. Interesting. We're going a little bit quickly on this part of your life, because it's now a bit behind, even though it might come back alive.
Yes.
We never know. But you're now in a project called 100 Circular Stories.
Yes.
And what is it all about?
It's about finding the stories of these frontrunner entrepreneurs who are really driving the new economy. And people might ask, like, what is the new economy? Because as far as we know, you purchase a product that someone made, and they made it out of resources. You don't actually know where it comes from. But we see the resources are limited for our planet. We also see that we make a lot of impact, and the old models don't apply anymore. So we are looking to find new ways in the new economy, and it will be like a sharing economy, a circular economy, where there is no use of new materials and we don't create waste. But there's also functional economy. I can't think of the other names, but there are several new models that you see popping up, and together they are the new economy. Like, you see swap bike, or light as a service, or energy as a service, or flooring as a service. So products as a service is a great example. But also you see more and more manufacturers trying to close the loop and look really carefully at a waste. So our project was to tell the stories of these entrepreneurs.
To highlight them, to show what they're doing
yes.
well and differently, and how do they innovate in there.
Yeah.
If you have a definition that could talk to anybody mm-hmm. about the circular economy, what mm-hmm. would it be?
It would be that you find a way to get to close the loop. Actually, it's about the loop. And all the energy that you put in the loop will be there for a third, a fifth, a second application or product. So, for example, you don't use any new materials. You only go looking for waste streams or material that you can recycle, and you put this into your production and you also look at your waste streams and how others could benefit for this waste. So this is a quite materialized concept, but actually circularity goes a bit further. So it is also to do about give and take and give back on a societal level. How can you create more jobs? How can you create more fairness? It's also about a natural or an environmental aspect. It's about what you take, you give back, and what you take leaves no trace. So there's a lot of loops, and all these loops together combined can create circular models that create multiple value.
I want to dig in several aspects of this one. But I think we can take a very concrete example
yeah.
of a story that you've been following
yeah.
and digging in.
Yeah, maybe the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's a great story. So we saw this, fashion is very polluting industry. And we saw that several entrepreneurs were actually changing the industry right now. So we really wanted to learn more about what do they do to change this impact fashion has on our planet. And we talked with Kings of Indigo and the founder of it. He told us his story. And actually, if you look at the production of fashion, where do I start? At the jeans or the raw materials?
What is different in their production?
Yeah.
How do they source the material yeah. and what has been transformed?
Yeah. So what they do differently is that they really look carefully at the design of their jeans and all the components it consists of. So they want no new components in their jeans. That means that you have to look for materials that are already in their first or second life, and you take them and you make them to something else. Like the buttons are made of surgical instruments that are used only once. And the fabric is made of waste streams, like cut out textiles that otherwise would have ended in the trash. They use it again. They also use plastic bottles. And together with their partners in the industry, they innovate the way the textiles are produced. So they get sustainable textiles that have a high quality, so you can wear your jeans for 10 years. But also it contains no new materials, and the material can be disaggregated or dissected afterwards. So you can use it again for the next pants, and use it again for the next pants, and use it again for the next pants.
So even the actual product, the finished product, is thought in a way that it could be reused and
yeah.
re-enter some kind of
yes.
circle?
We did an analysis with another startup, Circular IQ, and we really went into detail in the context of these jeans. And we weighed every label, like every button, every label, every piece of fabric we weighed, and we traced down where did it come from, how much of that was already recycled material, and how much will have another life, like is suited for another life. And then you see a circularity index coming up, and I thought it was about 60% for this one. And also you see the residual value of this product, because a lot of products in fashion, as we see now, last a season, and then you throw it out because the shape isn't good or it's out of fashion. You know, the fast fashion is really a consuming theme. So this one, it's not about fast fashion. It's about fashion you can wear for years. So the design is more timeless. The material is high quality. And we calculated that the residual value of your jeans is still 30 euros after 3 years of wearing. So if you put all these materials after 3 years of wearing back in the loop, it is worth 30 euros of purchase for a manufacturer. So it the value remains longer, and that's so interesting.
So there are two things I'd like to dig in. First, the circularity index. Calculating and understanding the circularity index is quite complex. How it works, it's all about weighting all items of the product separately and tracing the material. For example, for the jean, the button made of recycled surgical instruments, the fabric of the jean itself, or the signature at the back of the jeans that are usually made of leather on most jeans. The second thing I'd like to dig in is the residual value. The residual value is the amount that a company expects to receive for an asset at the end of its service life, less any anticipated disposal cost. Since we are looking at waste stream, it's important to understand where this value is standing. One really interesting aspect is considering those jeans, once they're out of fashion, they are not trash, but valuable item that could enter another circle and close another loop.
So that would be the value of the actual product. And if we talk about the price of it, are we far beyond usual fast fashion industry?
You mean consumer pricing?
Yes.
That's actually a challenge. So what we found, and we talked to several entrepreneurs, is that to produce clean, to produce sustainable, is more expensive now. You could imagine that we have been innovating in the plastic production for years now. So this is a market and a production line we know so, so well, and that is optimized over the years. And then it became really cheap to produce plastic. Mm. And this is what we are on the verge of right now. So the people who are innovating invest in making these new technologies, making these new production lines, but it's quite costly. But as the volume grows, as we consumers get more aware, there's more demand for this stuff, the volume grows, then with a higher volume, you can produce at lower prices. And I think 10 years from now, it will be the standard, and the procedure is so much more optimized, it will be cheaper to produce in a more sustainable way.
So there is a focus on production. There is a focus also on educating people of what is the price of things.
Yeah, you can say the true cost. Like if you buy something that is really cheap, but that doesn't last very long, you should wonder and ask yourself, like, what is the actual price of this? Because someone has to pay. And I mean not someone, maybe in a person, but it can also be Mother Earth or the planet. Like someone is paying for this. Someone is getting the damage of this. So more and more you see consumers get aware of the actual price. And you see readiness to invest a bit more in more sustainable brands. Mm-hmm. I see that some of the brands take advantage of that and take it, price it even higher. So they're also looking for the price elasticity of this consumer group. But I think it will end somewhere in the middle. So sustainable products have to be reasonably priced and lower priced in the end to get the big mass activated.
I believe, actually, this is a good transition to the values, but it seems like when you're doing it right, you're showing everything that is behind the curtain including how much people are spending in the production and what cost what. And this transparency shows the consumer what they're buying. Is transparency one of the values that you believe in? Or actually the question I wanted to ask is, how does this project you're working on, 100 Circular Stories, how has it resonated in a more personal way?
Yeah, it really comes from my inner drive. It's curiosity, innovation and freedom and inspiration and a sense of integrity. I think that's my five values. And I really put this into the project, the way I'm researching these entrepreneurs and also the way we help them to tell the story. Fits in line with how I want to work and how I want to live. So I want to dig into something. I want to be at the frontier of something new, which the circular and the new economy is. And I want to learn about it, but also share and inspire others to do that.
That's also the purpose of this podcast.
Yeah.
So we're fully aligned. How did you make the switch from health to the circular economy?
Yeah, good question. I didn't know anything about it. So I met my business partner, Elakari, and she was graduating in the circular economy doing a master thesis. And I met her on the end of her thesis period, so she was exhausted. And what she told me, I found was so intriguing. And I really felt I could use all my professional skills I've built up in my career so far and put it into purpose for a better planet. Mm-hmm. So the market where you're in is not really relevant as long as you have other skills that make you the entrepreneur or actually driving change could help. And then I thought like, wow, I want to be in there. I feel like I need to do there something. But I'm not going to do a master thesis. So I asked myself, inspired by Tim Ferriss, like, what would it look like if this were easy? And I figured, well, let's go ask and find out from the people who already do it. And that's how we invented this project.
Interesting. We talked also about something that I thought was interesting. Do you believe any company can enter the circular economy?
Yes. Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Call me. Is that it?
Yes, call me.
No, but I don't know if you can take a very weird example, because the purpose of the Koi jeans, they really wanted to do it in that way. What about a company that, I don't know, is established for 40 years, not especially in innovation, and wants to do things differently? Mm-hmm. What would be the first question that they need to ask themselves, if any?
Well, at first there had to be the curiosity to see, can we do something? Because we feel that we might want to do something. So the change comes from inside, and it can be from the director, but I also see a lot of employees who really want their company to make a step because they live privately, also like separating the garbage and doing their best they can. So they want that in their work as well. So someone really has to be curious and want to explore the opportunities. And then the first step would be like, very easy, consider your waste streams. Like, what is your waste stream? What is happening there? What are you discarding of that could be of value for other companies? Mm. Or maybe reinvent your production process and see how you can diminish one of the waste streams.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it actually requires a different perspective. And this is what we teach and train them in as well. So once you see it, you see it, but it change. You need to have a slightly different perspective to look to your company, your products, and the people. Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting is also that you kind of let's see this different perspective as a muscle, and you practice this muscle in this way of identifying opportunities by connecting maybe this waste stream of company A with a production site of company B, and how they can communicate together. I'm going to go a bit fast, but one of the questions I had, because entrepreneurship has been calling you, is what is entrepreneurship to you?
It is about standing in the arena, getting dirty, giving blood, sweat, and tears, and find the people that are with you. Because there's a lot of people out there willing to fight for the same things. And I find entrepreneurship, if you put out what you want and you live by it, you find a lot of like-minded people, so a lot of energy comes free, and you get to work with so much pleasure. It's about courage, determination, getting your hands dirty, be vulnerable.
And do you think being an entrepreneur is okay, there is this sentence in French that I think is quite inspiring. It's being entrepreneur of your life, entrepreneur de sa vie. And this one is basically everything you touch is about, is driven by something that comes from your guts. Was it the same for you? Like, did you start being an entrepreneur because something was coming from your guts?
I think I always worked from my guts. So I always, in my entire career, I went for something because I believed in it. And that's really necessary for me. So that's the basics. I do think I became an entrepreneur because I wanted to do even more so in my own way.
Why do you do what you do?
Inspiration is a very high value of mine, and I feel inspired by learning new things, and I feel inspired by teaching others new things.
What is the thing that you learned about yourself in this experience or the previous one that you didn't think was possible or didn't think it was you?
I learned quite a bit. I have to say that when I started this adventure, this one, I quit my job because I felt that something was in my way, personally, in my personal life and in my professional life. And I really felt a strong urge to look into this a bit more, because I felt that to take a step, I would have to take a step. So I would have to take a step personally and professionally to overcome this sort of status quo. And what is, I didn't think is possible. There were certain things blocking my way in a personal manner. Like, I felt uncertain sometimes. I felt a bit lonely, I guess, or disconnected. And this year I spent getting more in touch with myself, aligning with myself. And it really brings up a great power that drives you forward. So this is what I learned, that I have the power within me. I just have to reconnect to it, and then you can move mountains.
Do you have any tricks or tools or exercise that is helping you to do so?
One of the tricks that, or a habit, I guess it is a habit, is to... together with Alakari, we celebrate little victories. So we really put in the app what we celebrate today and what we learned and what we will do tomorrow. And these give you little sparkles of joy and confirm you're on your way. It also requires you to be very honest about what isn't there yet.
Okay.
So I think vulnerability, it's a practice of vulnerability without losing yourself in what doesn't go well, but celebrate what does go well.
Okay. And do you have any routine?
Daily routine?
Or rituals?
My routine would be yoga, eat vegetarian as much as possible, and go out for walks in nature. this is really helping me to clear my mind.
We're getting into the bit more personal questions, and I'm going to start with, what is sacred to you?
This planet and the nature and animals living on it.
What is your biggest fear?
Failing.
What about failing?
Not having done the very best I could, and people noticing that and think less of me.
When it's actually only you that can do that.
I know. I'm perfectly aware of so it comes together with perfectionism. And being an entrepreneur, and you create something, and at one point, especially now with social media, you have to put it out. It feels like you put your little baby out for display and everybody there to see, and feels very vulnerable. You feel proud, but you feel so exposed. Yeah.
Naked.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you now, do you have a motto, a quote or a phrase that gets you up in the morning?
Yes, I do.
Tell us.
I found it right after I joined my first Burning Man experience. And that was amazing. And then I found this tile and it says, be fearless in the pursuit of whatever sets your soul on fire. And that really reinforces me every time. It can be super scary to go for what you want. But if you feel that it ignites your inner fire, it's so worth it. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you have a mentor or inspiring person?
Yes, right now I have a mentor. And it's a woman who is very into teaching about the sacred femininity, which is intriguing. Like, it's a whole new perspective opening up to me, and it helps me to reconnect to myself and stand in my power, as well personal as in business. And she holds a lot of wisdom. And yeah,
sacred femininity. I would like to dig into this concept. Femininity is sacred. It is one half of our inner wholeness. Whether male or female, each of us carry the feminine thread that allows us to be conscious receptors, intuitive self-healer, and thoughtful contributors. The feminine qualities can be the ability to wait, to listen, to be empty, are not owned by women. They are ownerless and genderless. Each of us holds the capacity to become fully awakened to our sacred femininity. This side of us is what allows us to flow, to receive intuitive messages, and to surrender. We can consider it sacred because it is through this surrender, through this full embrace, that we really become in touch with ourselves, that we really open up to the invaluable wealth of knowledge that lives within. Embracing femininity is an opening to ourselves in order to see what exists just a little bit deeper, to look within and to be fully present with the wisdom, flow, and mystery of our bodies, heart, and spirit. Practicing it is simple. All it requires is setting aside of space and time and an open heart. This period seems ideal to reconnect deeply to your sacred femininity, isn't it?
How do you think we can connect with a mentor? How can we find
this person? One? Or
this person,
one?
Or in general?
I think it comes to you. I think the right mentor will come on your path. It sounds super hippy-dippy, but it happens. Mm-hmm. If you are honest to yourself and you feel like you're stuck somewhere, go find a mentor for it, and they will come to you. If you admit you're stuck at something and you have the courage to face it, there will be so many opportunities to find a mentor. And take your time to select one that is good for you and resonates well.
So if I just dig in one little part that you just said, it's more the first step would be to identify something you need to work on. Precisely.
Yeah, it's not about changing yourself. Like, if you feel you are stuck, you are right. You are stuck. And if you want to be somewhere else in your life and you want to, you feel this desire, this longing to be there, and you know that it is your path, then go and get someone. Like, make the decision you're going for that and make sure it happens.
Do you have one tip or recommendation for someone that wants to align what they believe in and what they're doing on a daily basis?
I would advise that person to write down on a piece of paper every skill they have. The obvious skills, the more invisible skills, and then ask maybe your partner or a friend to write down some skills that you have. And you will see that you can actually do a lot. Like, you are capable of a lot of things that aren't restricted to your job, because your job usually is a limited description of what you should do and your boss wants you to do, but you're capable of so much more. And if you are aware of that and you find something that really interests you or really fascinated you or bothers you, like, I'm so annoyed by something, and you see you can change it, you can see which skills are you can use for that.
Okay. So first, a little introspection of what you can do, whether they're soft skills or hard skills, and then connect it to something that you want to contribute to.
You can also use the hedgehog concept.
What is hedgehog?
Hedgehog concept.
Okay. We'll put a link.
Yeah, you can Google it, and then you find three circles. And one is, what am I really good at? What does the world need? And the other one is, what creates value?
Well, it looks a little bit, there's one circle missing, but it looks like ikigai.
Yeah, it's something similar, yes. Okay. And it's actually quite an easy way of seeing where the overlap is for something that drives you and that's something that you are capable of and want to do.
I'd like you to meet Ashanti. Actually, you already saw her. In different circumstances. Ashanti is the magic stick of this podcast, and she's a goddess of fertility back in Ghana, where she comes from. And here on this podcast, she's the fertility of ideas that make sense, of ideas with purpose. I would like to give it to you for a moment, and you can make a wish for this word to make more sense and to be more purpose-driven. What would be that wish?
I wish to turn the lights on in eyes of the people I see on the streets, and I wish them to connect with nature more, because I think it balances us out and we really need to find our true nature.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you to Ashanti as well.
Thank you, Ashanti.
Do we have a wish for you? How do you say that in English? What can I wish you for the next days, months, years?
Prosperity and confidence and love.
So I wish you love, prosperity and confidence.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing all of this. So, what if circular economy became our main economy? Could it be one answer to our world's disaster? When you see how nature functions, there is no need to clean after a tree losing its leaves. It's part of the system, a full circle feeding itself. Each step helps another. I'm inviting you to think differently. If you would like to pause and reflect with Marielle on your own business, she's available for an hour chat to dig into your system and processes to start thinking of how to go circular. Please help this episode spread by sharing on social media and to your friends, hoping this helps others to contribute to the world they believe in, a purpose-driven life. Bye! Insensé. Comprenez bien le sens, qu'il soit propre, sale ou figuré. Sans aller dans mon sens, non, ne me brossez pas dans le sens du poil. Faites appel à vos cinq sens, mettez-vous sans dessus dessous, car non, ce n'est pas à sens unique, mais bien à double sens.